We need to be faithful to our local church and our gatherings together as often as we can be. We praise him for that. Well, we continue our series. We've been titled New Year's Essentials, and we will continue this through the end of February. And I trust it's been encouragement to you, and you can always check out if you want to hear it again, pick up a CD or DVD or watch it on YouTube or Facebook. And I encourage you to send it to your friends, whatever you come across that can be of help to maybe other friends or family through the Word of God. Do everything you can to get the Word of God out there. So we're coming to essential number 6 this morning. Put your trust in God. Isn't that a message for today that we need more than ever before, to put our trust in God? And our theme verse for today is Psalm 28 and verse 7. And this would be a good little assignment for you to go through your Bible and find all the verses that talk about trusting in God. This is one of them, one of the key ones, certainly. Psalm 28 and verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. And something about trusting God that just brings you to sing more about God as you put your trust in him. Let me pray for us. Father, bless your word to our hearts this morning. And Lord, may our minds and our thoughts and our spirits and our focus be on you this morning and on that trusting in you in these days. And when we get up tomorrow morning, Lord, that we will put our trust in you too. And the next day, and the next day, the next month, the next year, as you tarry, may our trust be in God, not in man, not in kings and princes and politicians or doctors or employers or whoever, but may our trust be in God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me begin today's message with this fictitious story. A tourist came too close to the edge of the Grand Canyon and lost his footing, and he plunged over the side, clawing and scratching to save himself. And after he went out of sight, and just before he fell into space, he encountered a scrubby bush, which he desperately grabbed hold of with both hands. Filled with terror, he called out toward heaven, "Is there anyone up there?" A calm, powerful voice came out of the sky. "Yes, there is." And the tourist replied, "Well, can you help me? Can you help me? Can you save me?" The calm voice replied, "Yes, I probably can. What is your problem?" "Well, I fell off the cliff and I'm dangling in space, holding to a bush that is about to let go. Please help me." The voice from above said, "I'll try. Do you believe?" Yes, I believe. "Do you have faith?" Yes, I have strong faith." And the calm voice said, "Well, in that case, simply let loose of the bush and everything will turn out fine." Well, there was a tense pause. Then the tourist yelled out, "Is there anyone else up there?" Well, so much for his faith and his trust in God, huh? The songwriter William Kirkpatrick penned these words that we just sang about a few minutes ago. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more." Today we'd like to answer the key question, why can you and I trust in God? First, you can trust in God because of who he is. And who is he? He is God. You and I need to fully accept the truth and the fact that he indeed is God supreme. Trusting God begins by believing that God is God and that he is the supreme being of the universe and that there is no other God but him. King David prayed in 2 Samuel, "You are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you. nor is there any God besides you. And of course, we get to know God. Psalmist said, be still and know God. We get to know God so that we can put our trust in him more. We get it to know God through his person, through his character, through his attributes. And there are a number of them. We'll just look at a few this morning. Number one, God is omniscient. That means that he's all-knowing. He's unfathomably wise. And we see this in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So he is all-knowing. He is intimately aware, dear ones, of everything that's going on in your life. He knows everything about you. The Bible says he knows the very number of hairs upon our head. He knows our very thoughts even before we think them. He knows everything that's going on in your life right now. He knows all about it. He knows about your past life, your present life, and he knows what's ahead, too, in your future life. And he's got it all in control, doesn't he? He knows it all. Not only that, he knows every detail of your life, your personality, your giftedness, your wants, your dreams, your desires, your weaknesses, and your frailties. He knows all about that. He knows exactly what's going on in every situation that concerns you right now. He knows about it. As Psalm 32:8 promises, he will be there to instruct you in the way you should go, and he will be there to counsel you, right, with his eye on you. Isn't that a good verse? He's able to instruct you in the way that you should go, and to counsel you, and to advise you, to guide you. He's got his eye on you, and he knows what's best for you. So God is omniscient. Number two, God is omnipresent. That means he's present everywhere. There is no place in all the world, including all the galaxies and all the planets, and including your life, where God is not. He is a spirit being. So he can be everywhere at one time. I liken to God as kind of the wind. You can't see the wind, but you know it's there. You feel it, and we cannot see God. He's a spirit being, but we can feel his presence. Amen? He can be everywhere at one time. Psalm 139 tells us, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Number three, God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Omni means all, and potent means powerful. He's all-powerful. He's greater in strength than every other combined force. He can do anything he chooses to do because he has supreme authority over all that exists. Doesn't that make you want to trust the Lord, knowing that's the kind of a God that we serve? King David put it this way in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12. He prayed these words, both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. By his power, he keeps the earth, and he keeps all the other planets in orbit just by his power. By his power, he holds the stars in space. He holds the sun and the moon and all the vast galaxies. He holds them with his hands, his power. He makes the ocean waves, and he makes the rivers flow. He raises the mountain, and he causes the birds to sing and the fish to swim and the bees to make honey. He's the omnipotent God. And not only that, he gave you your body. He gave you your body. Fearfully and wonderfully made you are. From your mother's womb, he gave you your life. Wow. The power of God just to create a little baby inside that mother's womb. is enough to blow your mind away. And he made you the very gender that you are, male or female, to glorify him. The omnipotent God. Number four, God is loving and merciful. We need that reminder too, don't we? Although we know it, but we need that reminder. And the Word of God certainly speaks of that in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. And Dad mentioned this verse the other night when he did a study in Lamentations. And what a great verse, what a great promise. And this is in the New American Standard Bible. It says this, The Lord's loving kindnesses, or his mercies, in other words, indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. How many believe that this morning? His mercies never cease. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Hallelujah. Tomorrow morning when you wake up and you need a little bit of his love, you need a little bit of his mercies, it'll be right there for you. It'll be new and fresh every morning that you need new mercies. It's right there every morning. And we need his mercies more than we do that cup of coffee in the morning, don't we? That fresh cup of coffee. We need his fresh mercies every morning. Amen? Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations 3. Please get this, dear ones. You can always rely on the Father's faithful love for you. Amen? To guide you throughout your day, to comfort you in your difficulty, to lead you into the future, you can count on God's faithful love and mercies to you. And no matter how you failed or how you've messed up yesterday or what burdens you have to carry today, hallelujah, his love for you is always, always fresh and new and steadfastly unwavering every day that you need it. You see, dear people, there's no one else like God. Amen? There is no one else like God who we can trust. Trust in man, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to let you down. Trust in riches, trust in fame and popularity, trust in your friends, trust in your bank account. It's all going to disappear. It's all going to fade away. It's all going to crumble. But God will never. You can always trust in God. Hallelujah. So knowing that God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, and loving and merciful, doesn't that give you and I every reason to trust him 100%? Amen? It does. Secondly, you can trust God because of what he does. You can trust in God because of what he does. How do you and I discover what God does and how he works? Well, through his word, right? Through his word that we hold in our hands, his inspired, inerrant, infallible word. That's how we learn to discover how God works. This amazing book reveals to us what God does in our lives so we can trust in him even more. Here in the Holy Bible, we find five powerful assurances of what God does. Assurance number one, he will guide you in the way you should go. He will guide you in the way you should go. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, a couple of my life verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own ways. In all your ways acknowledge him. Amen? And he will direct your paths. He will guide you in the way in which you should go. You don't have to know the best path of your life or towards what you are waiting for. Just know that God is faithful to lead you in what is best in his plan for your life. He understands the safest, most effective way to take you, the road that prepares you for what is ahead. He knows the best way to get you there and to get me there. And he's not going to lead you down the wrong road. Be assured of that. Be guaranteed of that. He's not going to lead you down an evil path. But he will lead you down the right road. And he will lead you down a good path and a safe path. Though it may not be the route you or I would have chosen for ourselves, and it may take longer than we'd like, you can be assured that as long as you keep your eyes on Him, keep your trust in Him, you will be on the right track. Assurance number two, whatever He requires of you, He will enable you to accomplish. Whatever He requires of you, He will enable you to accomplish. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 promises, faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. And wow, isn't that an encouraging promise from God? Because many times I feel so inadequate, do you not? Do I have a witness there? We feel inadequate to accomplish what God requires of us. Whether it be as a husband, whether it be as a father, whether it be as a grandfather, whether it be as a pastor, or you can name whatever your work is. It's challenging. And this is especially important to remember during those times when you're waiting on God. And God seems perhaps silent to you. You ever been there? Maybe you've been there right now. Just keep waiting on God. And keep persevering. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep praying. Keep in the Word. Keep listening to gospel music. Keep seeking God in your life. And He will lead you. And He will enable you to accomplish what is needed. Assurance number three. He will discipline you when needed for your own good. None of us like to be disciplined, do we? But God, as a loving Father, does that. You see, when a father lovingly disciplines his child, it's always for their good. They might not think so at the moment. But he disciplines his child because he loves his child and he wants his child to learn what is right to do and how to live right and to behave right and to make right choices. Our Heavenly Father, beloved, does the same for us. Sometimes he disciplines us. Sometimes he gives us a little spanking, if you would, when we need it. Psalm 119, verse 75 tells us, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me or disciplined me. The writer of Hebrews put it this way, whom the Lord loves, he chastens or he disciplines, Hebrews 12, 6. In other words, like the good father that he is, he corrects you to remove whatever's in your life that is holding you back or causing you pain or making you stumble or just doesn't fit who you are as his child. So he removes it because he loves you. For example, say there was a dream job that you really wanted. And if there were some aspect of your personality or how you respond to others that would completely undermine your effectiveness in that job and your ability to succeed there at that occupation, wouldn't you want the Lord to remove that from you so you could do that job and do it well? Remember, the Father sees all your blind spots. And he sees all your wounds. And he sees all the places of spiritual bondage that you cannot perceive even. And so out of his love, he disciplines. All with the purpose of freeing you from what would ultimately destroy you. And ultimately for the purpose of maturing you. And helping you become all that he's created you to be. Assurance number four, he will limit the pressure of your trials and temptations to what you can bear. God's word in 1 Corinthians 10:13 in the New American Standard Bible says this, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. You see, beloved, because of the Father's great love, he protects you and I from enduring too much hardship or too much pressure. He's got the thermostat under control, right? He'll not give you too much heat, too much pressure. He controls it all in you. He knows exactly your breaking point and my breaking point. And he'll not give us any more than what he knows we can handle to make our faith stronger and build our character. Like gold has to be put through the fire to be refined and to be purified, so too the refiner, the Lord himself, puts us through adversities and fiery trials, if you would, to refine our character and to strengthen our faith and to cause us to become more holy and more loving and more patient and more like Jesus. Where do we find this in Scripture? Well, there are numbers of passages, but I'm just going to share two that come to my mind. And one is in James chapter 1, verse 2. And following, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience and perseverance, right? But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, that you may be perfect, or you may be more mature in your Christian faith through the trials that you're experiencing. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. In this you greatly rejoice. Wow, kind of hard to rejoice with trials, isn't it? But knowing the reason why we have trials, we can rejoice in them, just as James said. Know that for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He will always keep his promises to you, is the assurance number 5. Scripture proclaims, not one word has failed of all his good promises. 1 Kings 8, verse 56. Psalm 91, verse 4 in the New Living Translation assures us that he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. He will be faithful. His faithful promises are your armor and your protection. Just as certain as a mother hen covers her chicks under her wings when they need protection, God's faithful promises will keep us safe and secure through any storms that we might face in life. You see, when it comes to your loving Heavenly Father, there should be absolutely no question in your mind about whether or not he will do as he says. How many believe God keeps his promises? Amen. And he will do exactly what he says. We don't have to question that or doubt that at all. We just have to believe it and claim it. He is perfectly holy. He is honorable and he is truthful, and he could never lie. He could never go back on his promises because he's God. Titus 1:2 says, God cannot lie. God will always keep his word. He will always keep his word, his promises. So be 100% assured that the Father will not fail you or me. Thirdly, you can trust in God because of the benefits of it. Are there benefits for trusting God? Are there ever? Psalm 28, verse 7 gives us 4 of those benefits. And you can look back there if you want with me in your Bibles to Psalm 28. 4 benefits of trusting God. First, you will realize that the Lord is your strength and shield. Notice verse 7a. The Lord is my strength and my shield. No matter what unfolds from day to day, or from month to month, or from year to year, he'll give us sufficient strength and grace for the need at that moment or in that day. And his presence, and he will surround you as a shield as you trust in him. Good to know that, isn't it? Secondly, you will rest your heart in him. That's another benefit of trusting in God. You will rest your heart in him. Your heart will fully trust him. Notice verse 7b. My heart trusted in him. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Yes, we can relax. We can rest, and we can lean in on him, knowing that he is fully able to do all that he has promised. Is that a good benefit for trusting in him? It certainly is, isn't it? Thirdly, you will recognize who he is and trust him and be helped as you do. Who is the Lord? Verse 7, the Lord is my strength. My heart trusted him. And then notice it. I am helped. I am helped. That's a good benefit of trusting in the Lord, isn't it? To know that he will help us in whatever it is that we are facing in our lives or going through in our lives. And don't we need his presence? And don't we need his divine help? And he's given us the Holy Spirit as our comforter, our divine helper, to help us in our time of need. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. How many believe that? Amen? Hallelujah. He is that help to you and to me, the very moment we need it. In Psalm 37, verse 39, David wrote, the Lord is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them. Why? Because they trusted in him. Isn't it great to know the Lord? And to be able to know that we can trust in the Lord and know that he will help us with whatever we are going through in our lives. Hallelujah. You see, the non-Christian doesn't know anything about that. That's why they need Jesus. And that's why we need to do everything we can to get the message of Jesus out to them, right? So they can put their trust in him as well. So with that in mind, there is no sense of panic. There should be no sense of panic or fear on the heart of the believer who is trusting in the Lord as it relates to the uncertain future. Could it be that if I'm fearing or being anxious in my life that I'm not trusting the Lord? Could that be? It could be. But I can trust in the Lord because he is right there to help us in everything. And he's right there at the very time, the very moment I need him, he's right there to help me. That's why I can trust in him. The past, the present, the future are his. Therefore, he will be there to help us right now. And he will be there tomorrow to help you then. Hallelujah. Fourthly, you will rejoice and sing praise to him. That's another benefit of trusting God. Always a good thing, isn't it? And you can tell the Christian that's really trusting God, because there'll be a sense of praising God. There'll be a sense of singing to God. There'll be a sense of rejoicing. And you won't hear much complaint from the person that's trusting in God. You really won't. Verse 7d says, therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. That's a benefit of trusting God. You'll be able to rejoice, and you'll be able to sing, and you'll be able to praise God. You know, it always amazes me how the Apostle Paul, while he was in Philippi preaching the gospel along with his good friend Silas, they are thrown into prison. They are thrown into a dirty, dark, damp, dungeon-like prison, chained hands and feet locked in stocks, 24-hour watch by guards, all night, all day. Yet there they are singing and praising God and praying right there in that prison cell. Why? Because their total trust was in God. And we got that from Ken and Johnny this morning, didn't we? They're human, sure they are. But we sense their trust in God that made them joyful and made them singing and praising God in the midst of it all, because their trust was in God. So too, when we trust fully in God, we too will be able to rejoice and even sing, even in our prison or feeling trapped in because of COVID-19. We'll still be able to sing and praise God in joyful worship. One more benefit of trusting God. that God gave me just the other day. And it's found in Proverbs 16:20, and it says this: he who heeds means obeys the word, that's the word of God, wisely, will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. Wow. Isn't that a powerful verse? What is the benefit of trusting in the Lord here? You will be happy. Who wants to be happy? Well, I hope you do. I hope I do. But you know, no wonder people are not happy today, because they're trusting in everything else today but in God. You know people like that, right? You have family, you have friends, you have neighbors that are trusting in this or that, but they're not trusting in God. And you look at them and you say, well, no wonder they're not happy. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them that happiness is going to be found in him, not in this and that. No wonder they're discontent. No wonder they're dissatisfied. No wonder they're despairing so. No wonder they're fearful and they're anxious, because they don't have Jesus. They're not trusting in God. And we have the truth to tell them and the message to tell them. You see, trusting God, you see, is a tonic. It's a tonic for the soul. It's a tonic for the mind. And it's a tonic for your body. It's trusting in God. You know, the opposite of trusting in God is really anxiousness and worry and fear. And that just creates a lot of health issues, doesn't it? Creates a lot more ulcers and headaches and stresses, and when we're not trusting God. Happy is a man who trusts in God. Trusting God brings happiness to our heart. I like what David Jeremiah said. Trusting God enables us to cast our cares on him, focus on his nearness, feed on his promises and his word, right? And anticipate his coming and share his message. That really sums it up well, doesn't it? The benefits of trusting God. Imagine, if you would, a helpless, handicapped little child in a wheelchair, struggling with limitations that poor little child has, handicapped and in a wheelchair. And that little child is totally dependent upon her father to get her around. She is totally trusting her father's force, his hand, to guide her, to turn her, to lead her from place to place in her wheelchair. Sometimes even in the night, the dark of the night, he guides her. Would that father ever abandon or dump his helpless little daughter? And that little daughter totally trusts the hand, the force of her loving father behind her. And I thought, wow, isn't that a beautiful picture of our Heavenly Father? Guiding us, turning us, leading us, helping us, totally helpless as we are, struggling with our limitations. You have some, I do. But with his hand behind us, pushing us, guiding us through the ups and the downs of life, he will never dump us or abandon us or leave us. He will always lead us. He will always guide us in the best path possible. How do we know God has our back? How do we know he has his loving, all-powerful hand on the back of the wheelchair of our lives? Well, let me just close with this verse this morning, Isaiah 41, verse 10. And it's a go-to verse of mine, and I'm sure of many of you as well. Isaiah 41, verse 10, he says this: "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will take the back of your wheelchair and help you in your helplessness. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Do you got some concerns? Do you got some concerns about tomorrow? God doesn't. He's there to help you with your concerns tomorrow. Trust in him. Are you weary from the struggles of life? God isn't. He's there to help you. Trust him. Does anxiety steal your sleep at night? Do you wake up in the night in a sweat, your heart filled with fear and anxiety? God says, "My child, I've got your back. I've got my right hand on your life. Be not afraid. I will be with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. Just trust in me. I've got it all under control. I've got your wheelchair. I'm going to take care of you. Yes, child of God, your heavenly Father will be there to help you. No matter the challenges that you face, no matter the questions that you may have, no matter the doubts that you may have, he will help you. Amen. He will help you. Believe it. Trust in him. And you, by God's grace, can face the challenges of today and of tomorrow, because he is up to the task to help you and to guide you through it to the end. And he will never let you down. He will never abandon ship on you. He's got you with his right hand on the back of your wheelchair, and he's never going to let go of you. And he's got his loving, all-powerful hand on you. Just trust him. Father, thank you for your word to our hearts this morning. Help us day by day, week by week, month by month, to put our trust in God. In Jesus' name, amen.